Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the Voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Agriculture Report and Science in the News, coming up after As It Is.
Hello once again, and welcome. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington, with the program that helps you learn and improve your American English. Listen to the show each day on the radio, or go on the internet and hear the program while you read along with us. We try to use words that are easy to understand, and we speak a little more slowly than normal so you can follow along. On today's program, a look back in time at a special group of immigrants who helped build America's strength. Then we will look ahead 6 months to the American congressional elections. Will the Republican Party gain seats in the House and Senate and make Democratic President Barack Obama's job harder? Or will Democrats turn out in large numbers to support their leader? Those two items are coming your way on As It Is from VOA. Next year marks the 150th anniversary of a time when large numbers of Chinese started working on a huge project in the United States. They helped build America's first transcontinental railroad, connecting the East Coast with the West. Very little is known about these Chinese railroad workers and what happened to them after the project was finished. Stanford University in California wants to learn more about the lives of these men by reaching out to their families. Pat Bodner tells us the story.
Two words, hopelessness and bravery, could very well describe what led the ancestors of Bill Yee to come to the United States.
I don't think I could do it, to come to a strange country and don't know a word of English. But I guess it's between eating or starving. I guess you have to do what you have to do for your family.
His ancestors came from southern China. They became part of an important event in American history.
My great-great-grandfather came over during the gold rush days, and he returned back to China as a wealthy man. And then my great-grandfather came over to work on the railroad. He came over to work in with black powder and on the railroad, and he died working on the railroad.
But that did not stop his grandfather from coming to the U.S. on false papers. He operated a laundry, a service for cleaning clothing. Bill Yee's father continued to head the business.
Things were pretty bad in the southern part of China at that time. So they came to America at all costs.
Shelley Fisher Fishkin wants to hear stories like this.
The records of specific individuals and their names and experiences are so sparse.
Ms. Fishkin is helping to direct the Chinese Railroad Workers in North America project at Stanford University. She is working with experts in Asia to look for descendants of railroad workers on both continents to learn more about the lives of these men.
Many of the Chinese workers who came to work on the Transcontinental and other railroads returned to China after their work was done, created families there. Some of them had families who they left when they came here, and they may have descendants in China.
The goal is to create a digital record of old objects, documents, and spoken histories from the families of the railroad workers. Historians would then piece together the mystery of who they were and what happened to them.
And the U.S. could not have become the modern industrial nation that it did without the railroads. And the railroads would not have come together when they did without the crucial work of these Chinese workers.
Jonathan Wong's ancestor studied English and left China to work as a language assistant on the Transcontinental Railroad. He later brought his family to the United States, and they settled in San Francisco.
He kind of had a different experience than actually having to do labor. He wouldn't go home feeling that he was going to be in danger the next day. It was more of a closer relationship, obviously, with the white community and his white superiors. But obviously, I know that he was still treated as if he was the inferior minority.
Shelley Fisher Fishkin says it was part of a life as a Chinese railroad worker.
They suffered greatly from discrimination and from prejudice. They were paid less than their Euro-American workers.
Bill Yi wants his 6 children and 19 grandchildren to know their family history.
They had to appreciate the sacrifice that our grandparents did for us. Otherwise, I might be working in the rice fields now. So it really bring a big opportunity to this generation.
Through the Stanford University Project, the lives of these men can be remembered. This will help others more fully understand their part in American history. I'm Pat Bodner.
Here in the United States, congressional elections are less than 6 months away, and some Democratic Party activists are already worried about the election results. They believe Democratic voters will show less intensity than Republican Party voters in November. If that happens, fewer Democrats than Republicans will bother to vote. Mario Ritter takes an early look at the political likes and dislikes of Americans nationwide.
More Americans vote in presidential election years than in other years. 2014 is a non-presidential election year, and that concerns President Barack Obama and other Democrats. Republicans are hoping for voter dissatisfaction with the president and the nation's health care law, says political observer Charlie Cook.
In a presidential election year, the turnout is big, it's diverse, it looks more or less like the country. But in midterm elections, when the turnout is smaller, it's older, it's wider, it's more conservative, it's more Republican, it's just real different.
That presents a huge test for Democrats. Celinda Lake works for the Democratic Party. She studies information about likely voters. She says a huge issue for the Democrats is just who will be voting in November. She says the party is concerned about Latinos, African Americans, unmarried women, and young people who are dissatisfied with the economy. Republican candidates are expected to talk about the president and health care during the election campaign. John Boehner is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. He thinks the Republicans also have to talk about the economy.
You know, whenever I go around the country, I think it takes some audacity to call for greater cooperation amongst nations on the economy, when they have only been focused on the jobs issues that we've got right here in America that need to be resolved.
Carlin Bowman studies politics for the Washington-based American Enterprise Institute. She says the Republicans are expected to hold their majority in the House, and she thinks they could make enough gains in the elections to retake the Senate.
These Senate contests are such high-stakes contests. The Republicans would desperately like to win control of the Senate and actually have a decent margin in the Senate in order to try to move some of their own issues along.
Americans will fill 36 of the 100 Senate seats and all 435 House seats in the November elections.
Thank you, Mario. And thanks also to Pat Bodner for helping out on today's program. There are more Learning English shows just seconds away, and world news follows at the beginning of every hour on VOA. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington.
Thank you for spending some time with us today. Come back tomorrow, okay?
The Agriculture Report is next, followed by Science in the News. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Agriculture Report. The town of Bor is about 450 kilometers west of Bangui, the capital of the Central African Republic. Thousands of people displaced by the violence in the country have come to the town seeking safety. VOA reporter Bagasi Kura recently spent 2 weeks in the Central African Republic. She reports that Christians displaced by the fighting are struggling to get enough to eat. But the country's food crisis affects more than just the people who fled the violence. Even if they are not displaced, many people in Bor are hungry and need food aid. Once a month, the United Nations World Food Program gives food to people in Bor. People line up to wait for the food. Tensions grow as the hours pass. African Union soldiers are on guard near the line. Madeleine Kim Mbusa is among those waiting. She and her 6 children fled their village a few weeks ago after Salika rebels attacked. She says that she could not stay in the village because the Salika killed her whole family. That is why, she says, she came to Bor. Michel Sourobe has 8 children. He has no job, no money, and no way to feed his family. He says that many things have happened during the crisis. He and his family fled into the bush. Michel Sourobe says he has visited some family members, and they are sick. Time passes. Finally, the wait is over for Madeleine Kimambusa. A worker calls her name, and she gets her food. She is given 50 kilograms of rice, 10 kilograms of beans, and 2 liters of cooking oil. But as she leaves, she discovers her bag of beans has been stolen. Other women help her capture the person who took it. With their help, Ms. Kimambusa gets her bag of beans back. But then she discovers that her cooking oil has been stolen. A displaced woman, Edwidge Sonekpi, helps her find this second thief. Edwidge Sonekpi says, "It's a war here. Men rob us. They don't want to share. And we women are always the losers." Madeleine Kimambusa arrives home with all of the food she was given. She says if she had the food earlier, her children would not have suffered. But she also says she is pleased and happy. She says this is her lucky day. And she hopes she will be able to feed her family for another month. And that's the VOA Learning English Agriculture Report. I'm Katie Weaver.
From VOA Learning English, this is Science in the News. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. This week, we explore the science of tornadoes. Weather experts say tornadoes are the most violent of all atmospheric storms. They strike in many parts of the world, including the United States.
Tornado season has begun in the United States. In late April, tornadoes struck 9 southeastern states. At least 35 people were killed in the 2 days of storms. The hardest hit areas were around the city of Little Rock, Arkansas. Officials there say tornadoes killed at least 15 people in Arkansas. The storms destroyed hundreds of homes, flattened trees, and overturned cars. The Associated Press says the wreckage included a new $14 million school that was to open later this year. About a week later, President Barack Obama went to the town of Valonia, north of Little Rock. He told people there that the federal government would help them recover from the storms.
What exactly is a tornado? It is a violently turning tube of air suspended from a thick cloud. A tornado extends from a thunderstorm in the sky down to the ground. The shape is like a funnel, wide at the top, narrower at the bottom. Tornadoes form when winds blowing in different directions meet in the clouds and begin to turn in circles. Warm air rising from below causes the wind tube to reach toward the ground. Because of their circular movement, these windstorms are also known as twisters. The most severe tornadoes can reach wind speeds of 320 kilometers an hour or more. The resulting paths of damage can be up to 3 kilometers wide, while the smallest widths are less than 10 meters. In some cases, the paths of damage can extend more than 480 kilometers.
With a tornado, bigger does not necessarily mean stronger. Large tornadoes can be weak, and some of the smallest tornadoes can be the most damaging. But no matter what the size, tornado winds are the strongest on Earth. Tornadoes can carry trees, cars, and homes from one place to another. They can also destroy anything in their path. Tornadoes have been observed on every continent except Antarctica. But experts say they are most commonly seen in the United States. On average, more than 1,000 are reported nationwide each year. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration keeps records of tornado sightings. It says tornadoes kill 70 people and injure 1,500 others nationwide in an average year.
Tornadoes are observed most often in the center of the United States, where the land is mostly flat. The area where the most violent tornadoes usually happen is known as Tornado Alley. This area extends from Texas to South Dakota, between the Rocky Mountains and the Appalachians. Tornadoes can happen any time of the year. but most happen from late winter to the middle of summer. In some areas, there is a second high season in autumn. Tornado seasons are the result of wind and weather patterns. During spring, warm air moves north and mixes with cold air remaining from winter. In autumn, the opposite happens. Cold weather moves south and combines with the last of the warm air from summer.
Tornadoes can strike with little or no warning. Most injuries happen when flying objects hit people. Experts say the best place to be is in an underground shelter or a small windowless room in the lowest part of a building. People driving during a tornado are advised to find low ground and lay flat, face down, with their hands covering their head. People in the path of a tornado often just have minutes to make life or death decisions. The deadliest American tornado on record was the Tri-State Tornado of March 18, 1925. It tore across Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana, killing 695 people. Technology was less developed a century ago. Weather experts were not able to give warnings about possible tornadoes, like they sometimes do today.
Between March and May of 2011, there were 1,159 confirmed tornadoes across the United States. Scientists say that is the most on record for any three-month period. The most active month was April 2011, when 758 tornadoes were confirmed. That is the most ever for any month. That April, the country broke a 37-year-old record for the largest tornado outbreak. A tornado outbreak is commonly defined as six or more tornadoes produced by the same weather system within a day. Scientists say the 199 tornadoes on April 27, 2011 were the most for any single day. They say the storms killed 316 people, the most ever in modern records for a 24-hour period.
No two tornadoes look exactly the same, and no two tornadoes act the same way. Even a weak tornado requires the right combination of wind, temperature, pressure, and humidity. Weather experts can identify these conditions, and when they observe them, they can advise people that tornadoes might develop. But they are not able to tell exactly when or where a tornado will hit. Tornado warnings still depend, in large part, on human observations. Usually, a community will receive a warning at least a few minutes before a tornado strikes. But each year there are some surprises where tornadoes develop when they are least expected.
The tornado reporting system involves watches and warnings. A tornado watch means tornadoes are possible in the area. A tornado warning means that a tornado has been seen. People are told to take shelter immediately. Yet tornadoes can be difficult to see. Sometimes Only the objects they are carrying through the air can be seen. Some nighttime tornadoes have been observed because of lightning strikes nearby. But tornadoes at night are usually impossible to see. Tornadoes that form over water are called waterspouts. But tornadoes cover a much smaller area than hurricanes, which form over oceans. Tornadoes can be measured using wind speed information from Doppler radar systems. Tornadoes usually travel in a northeasterly direction, but they have been known to move in any direction. The average forward speed is about 50 kilometers an hour, but they can have a forward speed of up to 115 kilometers an hour. Or they may not move in any direction.
In the United States, the force of a tornado is judged by the damage to structures. Scientists inspect the damage before they estimate the severity of a tornado. They measure tornadoes on the Enhanced Fujita or EF scale. Ted Fujita was a weather expert who developed a system to rate tornadoes in the 1970s. The EF scale involves wind estimates based on levels of damage to 28 different kinds of structures and other objects. Tornadoes that cause only light damage are called an EF0. Those with the highest winds that destroy well-built homes and throw vehicles great distances are called an EF5.
Some people make a sport out of watching and following tornadoes. They are called tornado chasers or storm chasers. Their work can be seen in the extreme weather videos that are popular on television and the internet. Some chasers do it just because it is their idea of fun. Others do it to help document storms and warn the public. Still others are part of weather research teams.
A few years ago, an international team of scientists completed a tornado research project called Vortex 2. More than 100 researchers traveled throughout America's Great Plains in 2009 and 2010. They used weather measurement instruments to collect scientific information about the life of a tornado. The goal of the project was to examine, in detail, how tornadoes are formed and the kinds of damage they cause. A film about the Vortex 2 project was released in 2011. The film includes never-before-seen images of tornadoes.
The National Weather Service says the United States gets more severe weather than any other country. One reason for this is because the U.S. is bigger than many countries. It also has many different kinds of conditions that create many different kinds of weather. There are seacoasts and deserts, flatlands and mountains. The West Coast is along the Pacific Ocean, which is relatively calm. The East Coast is along the Atlantic Ocean, which is known for its hurricanes. These strike mainly the southeastern states.
This Science in the News was written by George Grow and Christopher Cruz, who also produced our report. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. Join us again next week for more news about science on The Voice of America.